You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Loud Spot. I'm your host, Sebastian. We don't know where Joe... Oh, there he is. He's back again. All right. Right out of Oklahoma. Oh, fuck. You know what? Shit. God damn it. I'm going to have to start... God damn it, I fucked that up because you fucked it up.
Joe.
I don't know what it is.
Joey, it's your fault. We're going to start the show anyways. Here we go. We're not even starting over. Fuck it. Let's go. He disappeared from camera, and I lost my train of thought, and I went into my old announcement from Oklahoma City, which my producer's like, quit saying Oklahoma City, just fucking say you're on a podcast. So anyways, we're here with a band called Bad Year. I was going to say, but it's been a good year. Then I was going to play the intro song, but, you know, I blame Joey. It's your fault, so but the show must go on. You guys, listen, this is episode number 300, so... Woo! You guys are to the cool kids club. So let's go. And you know what? I don't always talk to bands, but like 90% of them are bands. So like 270 bands, maybe some of them been on. That's a lot of, dude, you never run out of bands to talk to. I thought I would before I started podcasting. And I realized bands break up. They form new bands. Bands have new songs. They want to come back on. And you guys are from the Midwest, correct?
Milwaukee.
Yep. Man, and a punk rock band, which is like my favorite style of music is punk rock. So I'm happy you guys are on my episode 300. So thank you for joining me. And thank you, Jake, for reaching out to me and wanting to come on the podcast. Fantastic.
No problem.
So let's talk a little bit about the band. I want to talk about some other topics, but I do want to get a little bit of information about the band and how it started and where you guys are today from where you guys when you guys first formed.
Yeah, so what year is it?
Bad 2022.
Year, so 2022. So back in 2019, you know, I went on this blind date with this really good looking fellow, and Michael is actually that person. So
Hold on. I'm assuming you're joking, but I don't know. Maybe you're not joking. Maybe
we are. Okay, maybe we're not.
Maybe you're not. I don't know.
It wasn't a blind date. All right. It was just a date. All right. It was just a date.
I was joking. I had seen his face before.
Okay. So continue on this blind date with this beautiful man over here to your right. Okay. What happens on this date?
So Michael and I had actually known each other for a while, right? We had been friends, and we, I just always appreciated his style, his musical style of playing, not so much his, you know, clothing style, but.
Dude, he just dogged you, bro. He just
dogged.
Like, he's a good looking dude, but I mean, he could get like wear something different.
Yeah. For sure. He tells me that every day. And I walk in when I see him to rehearsal, and he'll be like,
he's got like flip flops on and like blue jeans and whatever.
Hey, okay. He rates his outfits at practice.
Yeah, he's like, I walk in and he's like 3.5. And I'm like, I tried for a 7. And
I'm not afraid to give constructive criticism to my buddies.
Hey, if you're not dressed good, you're just not dressed good, dude. I mean, that's all. It is what it is.
No, I'm just giving him a hard time. So I think it was, late 2019, something like that. I don't know. And I was like, yeah, dude, we should just, you know, let's jam sometime. And we just started, you know, throwing ideas around on acoustic guitars and just playing together and coming up with cool stuff, sharing stuff. Started roughly demoing. Some of these ideas and practicing together eventually, with, you know, me on drums getting some more structure to the songs overall, and just making very rough demos, just coming up with whatever we could, and working on some things together. And I don't know what took place after that, Mike. I mean,
well, Joey was living in Indianapolis at the time.
Okay.
And I was living in Milwaukee, and so we were just like...
It was a long-distance relationship.
Yeah, it was a long-distance relationship.
Was it like 90-day fiancé, where like he's coming to visit you, you're going to visit him. Yes, you guys meet for the first time, you guys hate each other, but you still love each other. You're trying to make it work, but it's just not working. But you stuck it out so far, so you might as well keep on going.
Yeah, he drove 300 miles for this date that we had.
Did you get pregnant? Is that why you're still around?
Yes, he did, actually.
We're
awkward.
It's 18 years, so we're stuck.
Your baby?
Go ahead. That's it, man. And then we were like, wow, we thought we could really turn it into something. So he moved back up here, and we started the process. And made it a thing.
We spent all of our money on musical instruments, and nothing has really changed since then.
You guys, your punk rock style that you guys play is probably my favorite style of punk rock music. You know, there's all kinds of different styles, but you guys have a really a great sound. The vocals are fantastic. And Jake, you joined the band recently, right, as a second guitar player, maybe?
This year, yeah.
Okay. How did that come about?
Well, I'd known the guys. I'd known Sean since we played for a little while when we were in our 20s.
Was it like a polygamy thing where they needed like another husband involved? They're like,
I mean, out on a date domestic also. Partnership. I don't want to give too much personal detail.
Okay.
But, you know, in early 2020, my old band, the lead singer, talked to all of us about getting back together. He had just survived cancer and doing a few shows.
Wow.
And I had been retired from guitar playing for about 6 years at that point. So eventually they talked me into it, and he sets up this reunion show for July of 2020 that obviously didn't happen. But to open for us, he got Bad Year. And sent me a link to their...
We opened for you?
Okay, well, it's a co-headlining show.
Oh, that sounds cool.
But you guys played for...
You are now kicked out of the band, I think. But he did get you guys on the podcast, so he gets points for that. Guy
yeah, he does. He gets... That's his pass for another week.
For me personally, when I heard... Jake played the David Gilmour solo in what the Pink Floyd song you guys covered?
Time.
Okay.
It was Time.
That's when
that
I
was
knew.
A good time.
And I just looked at Mike, and we knew we were gonna steal him. So
yeah,
that's it's so amazing how bands can do that. And you knew you could steal him too. We're like, this motherfucker's ours. We're gonna take him right now, and he's gonna be in our band. And bands do that; they kidnap other people from other bands, and they you know. But you got, you know, I'm not surprised he joined. You guys don't know what his other band sounded like, but you guys sound great. I want to change the topic just for a little bit, since it is my 300th episode. And on Facebook, Joey, I saw that you were at In-N-Out Burger in California. I'm assuming they don't have him in Wisconsin.
Negative.
And so what did you think? Now, the other bands, has anyone else in the band ever been to an In-N-Out Burger? Okay. So Mike's been to an In-N-Out Burger. People try to compare, and I live in Oklahoma, but I'm from California, right? So I grew up near an In-N-Out Burger. To me, the French fries are they're okay, but their burgers are fantastic. And people try to compare it to like Whataburger, which is in Oklahoma. I'm like, it's not the same to me. In-N-Out Burger, even though it's fast food, it's like a little bit higher class of fast food. I don't know, Joe. What did you think about In-N-Out Burger?
I've had it before. I mean, I've had it on and off for several times since I've, you know, started going out there for vacation since I was like a teenager. But I love it. You got to order. I got a little secret way of ordering the fries.
You get an animal style
just to make sure. No, well, I have, but I usually don't. to be honest. I'll just order the fries, just like, I mean, obviously they're super fresh, but I don't ask for something on them, and it makes them really good. I can't remember, but we'll get a double-double and order the fries.
Yes, I want like, French fries, but no potatoes, please.
Potatoes.
You just get salt and grease. That's all you get.
Basically, that's
what else do they put on the French fries? Salt, grease, potatoes. Because that's the French fries.
I don't remember. I don't know. But I was just out there a few weeks ago, and I ordered the fries a certain way. My memory is horrible, but I'll have to get back to you guys on it. But
do you think it's as good? And Mike's been there also. Is it as good as people say? Or see, I've never been to Newcastle or a White Castle. White Castle. I've never been to White Castle, right? I've heard that's really good. Never been there besides the Walgreens White Castle that they sell, the frozen ones, which I'm sure are not the same thing as actually going to White Castle.
Not the same.
Not the same. I don't think so.
But
so, that's always what I identify as White Castle as, though. You know, is the like frozen version. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, because they're all on the East Coast. But I think there might be some, maybe not in the East Coast. I don't know. I've just never been to one, or I've never seen one. If I did, I would go to one. Is In-N-Out Burger overrated?
No.
Thank you.
I don't think
so. Simple answer. And
I love it.
My answer is relevant because I have had In-N-Out Burger within the last 3 months.
Okay.
So, and I took my girlfriend there for the first time, and she really enjoyed it for her first experience. So,
see, I don't think it's overrated either.
I'd like to say in Milwaukee, we have a great selection of burger places. So I think it ranks.
You really do. Yeah.
We really do. And I think it ranks on par or above. And I don't know what it is. I think maybe it's the simplicity of the menu.
Maybe.
You know, and they just specialize in this one thing. And it's amazing.
They're so consistent, too.
They are. Like, everywhere you go, it's like the same thing, no matter what.
Bad.
You know, it's also a really good burger. And I know it's going to sound stupid, and people are going to disagree with me on it. But if you ever go to a Del Taco, I don't know if they have those in Wisconsin. They have really good burgers. It's a taco place, but they got good burgers also. I just wanted to say on my 300th episode, I love In-N-Out Burger. And I wish they would come to Oklahoma. I know there's a couple in Texas, but maybe I like it more because they're not in Oklahoma. And so it's like a treat to go and have one wherever someone is. Okay. Now, wait,
are we applying for an In-N-Out Burger a sponsorship right now?
They should sponsor
us. All of us, yeah.
You know why they're not going to sponsor us? I'll tell you why they're not going to sponsor us, because we're about to talk about micro penises for a second. So, there goes the sponsorship with In-N-Out Burger. All I want to say is I have a Rodecaster here that my producer got me, and there's little buttons on it that do like little things like, you know, things like that. Well, I want one that just says, micro penis. Like whenever someone says something stupid or like I make a bad joke, micro penis that button. And I got my buddy working on it this weekend for me. It will be a button on the show. That's gonna be my new thing on every single episode. I will push that button at least once, unless it's like all women, then I probably still will. But I'll let them know in advance that I'm gonna push that button. And for that reason, In-N-Out Burger will not sponsor me.
If we just come on the show a couple weeks later, we could have had the micro penis.
Yeah, you guys could have. But you know, but we're implementing it now, and you know, but it's very special to have 300 episodes and going this far and going so long as I have. You know, a lot of people start podcasts, they quit after just 10, 20 episodes. Cause it's a lot of work. You gotta do a lot of things. But lucky for me, I'm a talker. And I don't mind talking to people. And I get to hear all kinds of cool music from all kinds of different bands from really around the world. And there's so many great bands out there, especially like bands like your guys, that, you know, you don't have a huge following, but to be able to share it on a platform like this could either grow your following some, or you're getting your voices out there, you're getting your music out there. And it's mm-hmm. awesome because you guys really, like I said earlier, my favorite style of punk rock is the kind of punk rock you guys play. You have a song called Killing Me. I want to play that here right now, which is about suicide, is it not, or mental health?
But I will go mental health, but suicide's part of that.
It is. And I was talking with a band called the Almas. I think they're like, I was talking to Jake about the earlier. I think they're maybe from your guys' area, maybe.
Area.
Yeah, and they, you know, we talked about, I think, suicide prevention on their episode, and similar to your music video, they have the suicide prevention number at the end of it, which I think that number is the same, but it also, they made it simple recently, which I learned 988 is the suicide prevention hotline. So I like to make a lot of jokes on my podcast and talk a lot of shit, but sometimes things do get serious. And when they get serious, it's hard to make a joke, even though I try to every now and again, tastefully if I can. But this music video,
you gotta have humor in life.
You gotta have humor. Thank you very much.
And in death too. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah. You're right.
That's kind of how I've coped through a lot of deaths of close friends and family. You gotta have humor somewhere.
So on a more serious note, then, is the band itself. I knew there was like maybe some drug addiction, and I know maybe some people aren't here that were struggling with that. The band is the band big on being sober a lot and dealing with mental struggles, or what where do you guys stand with that? And is a lot of your music about mental health?
Yes. So we, several of us are in recovery ourselves. We're very lucky to have that opportunity. We know too many people who have passed away from substance use or are still out there using, overdosing, dying, people who have never even, aren't even drug addicts, just everyday people who think, a college student might think they're going to get an Adderall because they have a test coming up. No, it's got fentanyl in it and they're dead. So that's why things like having Narcan or Naloxone is so important, and fentanyl test strips, because you can administer this to anyone at any time and possibly save a life.
Do you still, and that's, I'm so happy you're able to put that on camera right there. Do you still have friends that struggle with addiction? And is it hard to stay friends with them? Maybe being in recovery yourself, I don't know, because you don't want to put yourself in, being an addict, you never want to put yourself in a situation where you might be tempted to use, because it's so easy to be like, oh, just one time, I'll be fine, right? A lot of people think that. So is it hard to stay away from those friends, or do you want to keep those friends close and try to kind of father them, if you will?
So some of the work I do, I'm a peer support specialist. So I actually, my job is to use my lived experience to help other people in recovery, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're still using a substance or not, it doesn't matter. Like, we're just here to help prevent death and save some lives. So you brought up a few points. When it comes to, people I know and close friends that may still be using substances, first off, I have to have that recovery myself, and put in the work in order to get to somewhere in my plate in my life where I'm in a place where I can go anywhere as a free person and have that freedom of knowing intuitively and having that mindset of like, I'm in recovery today, and that's what I'm planning on doing tomorrow. Yeah. I also plan on not picking up, but, I think healthy boundaries is also something that is a learning process for people, whether we work in the field or we're sober and we go out and play shows at bars in venues all the time where there's, you name it, like we've seen it.
Yeah.
And we've been in the same room of people fucking snorting like ecstasy and what, I don't know, it was something else weird, a weird combination. And we're like, I'm like, yeah, that, I mean, that's cool, man. Like, and I always have Narcan with me. I always got drug testing strips. So ultimately, people use drugs. We live in fucking America. Like, let's be real about it. Like,
I mean, it's all over the world, really. I mean, maybe not in some countries, but for the most part, it's kind of all over the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think it just comes down to knowing your limits, right? Mm-hmm. Mike and I know that we're not we're like either too good at drinking or not good enough. So like, but we've learned that through experience.
Right.
And we know that. So like us like being like, oh fuck it. Like I could have one. Like
when drinking a lot of times when you're drunk is when you let your guard down and you want doing something else is because you're drunk and you're like, who cares? Yeah. You're drunk, let's just do it, you know. And it's yeah. it's one of those things where, you know, one thing can lead to another, and alcohol definitely is can when you're inebriated, you know, you wind up doing maybe things, your judgment's obviously not so good. I want to play this song real quick, and then I'm going to tell you guys a story that I can relate to about opioid abuse. I'm not going to get into too much detail about it, but it has to do with a friend of mine. Let's listen to this song real quick, and I'm going to mute you guys while this song plays, okay? So don't think that your phone's not working or your thing's not working. And then I'll unmute you guys when the song's over, all right? And this song is called Killing Me, right? And when did this song come out?
2021.
June 3rd, 2021.
Okay. So just a little over a year ago. All right. Here is Killing Me by the band Bad Year Punk Rock. This song is awesome. Check it out, guys. Here we go.
Forgetting everything it meant to me.
All right, and there we go with Killing Me by the band Bad Year. Such an awesome song. Jake, I don't think you were in that music video. You joined after that music video.
I was in the bathroom when they were doing that.
is that what you tell everybody? Is that what you said?
That's my story.
I forgot they were doing music video. My stomach was hurting, and by the time I got out, they were done. And
when nature calls, you got to go.
I've been there. Yeah, I've been there.
When nature calls, you got to go. I'm going to share a story with you guys without being too specific on it. I do got a buddy of mine who came to town to Oklahoma City, and I'm from California, comes into town and he had to go to work somewhere in another state. And he goes, hey, I'm gonna stop by your house for about a week since I'll be on the road. And he's passing. I live right off the highway off I-40. And so I was like, okay, cool, man. Hang out for a week and then go to your job. Cool. Right on. I was excited. He gets here. I did not know that he was withdrawing from fentanyl addiction. Ooh. And I have to go to work, or like I travel and stuff. So he's at my house, like all shaking and cold. And I was like, dude, he goes, if I would have told you, you wouldn't let me come over. I was like, yeah, no shit, dude. I got kids, you know what I'm saying? But he was here and I drug him with me out of town to go out of town for work. Took him with me. I said, I thought I had to take him to the hospital. I thought he was going to die, to be honest with you.
It looks like it and feels
feels like it too. Yeah.
You're going to die.
He couldn't eat anything. And so, but I took him with me out of town. And of course, out of town, there's nothing for him to buy anything. And he's not used to being in Oklahoma, especially in these little small towns. And it took about a week before he wound up going to his job. He was completely fine. He came back over here after his job. And he's been off it now, I think, for about a month and a half. And he's super excited. You know, he has a great job. But just seeing that and what it can do to you just from not doing it was scary enough for me to never want to try. And I'm 40. I just turned 40 last weekend. So, or two weeks ago. Time flies, man. I don't know. It was like September 8th, whatever that was. I turned 40. So about a couple weeks ago. And so at this age, I'm too old for any of that stuff. But it's crazy to see what it can do to someone just from not doing it. And I'm like, why would you want to be addicted to something that just makes you like just down and out? And I don't have that trait or that calling or that urge to ever try anything like that. And thank God I don't, because I used to be crazy when I was younger, and there's a good chance I could have been addicted to anything at my age now, but I wasn't. So, you know, anyone out there that's struggling with drug addiction, there are counselors out there. And most people that do drug addiction, when they get to that stage, I think they do want to stop. I think it starts off as kind of fun and something to do to kind of pass time, get out of your head a little bit, but eventually it does take over your life. And when that happens, it turns dangerous.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, by the time that you're physically addicted to something, you're just trying to maintain. Your body and your mind physically needs it to do whatever you have to do that day to get through another day, whether it be go to work, take care of the kids, like whatever. You know, I had, when I was in eighth grade, my cousin died from a heroin overdose. Oh, and I dang. Just like didn't understand it. I'm like, why would anyone do that? And then, you know, 5 years later, I'm doing, you know, painkillers, mm-hmm. Vicodin, Percocet, oxycodone, morphine, Oxycontin, heroin, eventually, like, but you know, it's not like I knew the consequences. Like I totally knew the consequences, but like, it's straight euphoria. And yeah. Like, if it takes away your pain, if it gets you out of your head, a lot of people are going to do that and want to continue to do that if they don't know how to cope with things that I didn't know how to cope with. One thing that led me to start partying like I did was my drum instructor committing suicide.
Oh, wow.
2 weeks after I stopped taking lessons from him. And just like the happiest, coolest, like hippie, you know, old dude, like always like the most cheerful person, taught me everything I know about music. And then
we're gonna go over the 30 minute mark here, but that's okay. It's an important conversation. I think people need to hear it, you know. Mike over there. he's making faces.
We can change the topic.
Yeah.
Huh?
We can change the topic.
No, I think it's, you know, I will say, you know, I called my buddy tonight, actually, before we did this podcast. I said, hey, man, how you doing? Just checking on you. And he thanks me for checking on him, you know, because a lot of people don't even know he's doing these things, and he hides it well with his great career and all those good things. But, you know, I got to call and check on him. And so far, I think, I mean, like I said, he's been sober now for a while and not too long, but long enough, I think, to where he's getting his head on. But it takes courage, and it takes him knowing that he was going to go through those withdrawals, and him knowing it was going to happen, but he wound up facing it instead of hiding from it and just going to get more fentanyl. He was like, I just need to change this. I'll lose everything, you know? And unfortunately, some people don't have anything to lose. And when that's the case, except for their life, maybe, But you don't walk around high all the time. Maybe you don't give a shit about that either. A lot of people don't. So suicide prevention 988. Also, there was a number. The end of your music video had it. We did not play it. But I don't know if that number still works, but it probably still does. I'm sure they didn't just change it right away.
I would just dial 988. Yeah.
Yeah. You could also text 988. That also works. Mm-hmm. Okay. Change the topic real quick before we get off. I do want to talk about Punkerton Records that you guys are signed to. I think still, but I do want to mention there is a new show on Netflix. Jeffrey Dahmer. It is so, my wife couldn't even watch the first full episode. It's very intense. Is that a dog over there, Mike?
It's a furry.
Oh, well, what if he was like, no, that's my girlfriend, dude. Because he couldn't tell. He went fucking in the camera.
That would have been bad. You're like, that would have been really funny, though.
I was expecting it. Maybe it could have been a girlfriend. But the Jeffrey Dahmer show on Netflix is good. I also watch a House of Dragons, a new Game of Thrones. That's on HBO Max. I love both those shows. So anyone that's listening to this episode, go check those out. If you don't have the apps for it, find someone who does, log into their stuff, or just get it yourself and watch it. I think both the shows are good. The Jeffrey Dahmer show kind of leaves you feeling like everybody in the world is sick and you might die by getting cut up by someone that you never thought. It makes you feel a little bit weird and you question everyone you ever talk to ever again. But House of Dragons doesn't leave you like that. It leaves you kind of feeling like there's a lot of incest going on maybe in the world that we're also not aware of. Not aware of. I don't know.
I work 8 blocks from where Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment building was.
Shut up, dude.
Mm. Yeah.
Do they still have it? Like, is it condemned or no?
I think they
tore it down.
Okay. Okay.
But I think it's a Whataburger now.
Shit in there, dude. I mean, I saw it. Like the story that's on Netflix is, I don't say it's 100% accurate from what I read on Wikipedia, which also may not be accurate, but from the show to Wikipedia, I saw some things just from the first episode. I'm like, this is kind of different, but it's not even loosely based on a true story. It is based on a true story. I think just the message might be slightly a little bit for TV, you know, for cinematics. It might, instead of this, we're going to put him, instead of him being in the bathroom, we're going to put him in the bedroom or something like that, you know? But yeah, weird, man.
If it's sparking interest in Milwaukee history.
Yeah. Yeah, it's they do.
Even though that's not maybe our favorite part of our history.
That's crazy. I guess I didn't realize that he was from Milwaukee and you guys are on from the band's based out of Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
And we're talking about this. I did not put two and two together until Mike said earlier that he lived 8 blocks away. I was like, oh shit. Well, ding, ding, ding. Accidental, super cool thing to bring up.
Yeah, he was a native son.
That's what happens when you turn 40.
Our rehearsal facility is right across the street from where he would pick up some of his victims.
Why didn't you tell me that?
It's called Dicks.
You guys should write a song called Dahmer. You guys literally write a song called Dahmer and make it based off Jeffrey Dahmer. You guys are a punk rock band. There's tons of cool, sadistic kind of punk rock bands. Maybe not your thing, but I think it'd be cool.
We're gonna write a song called Dahmer, and it's gonna be about In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, so, the food from In-N-Out Burger is really Jeffrey Dahmer's victims,
leftovers.
Fucked up, dude. Another reason why we're not getting sponsored by In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, it's
just another reason.
And then we're gonna come back around to micro penis somehow.
What if you order a hot dog? I think they sell hot dogs they might sell hot dogs at In-N-Out Burger. I think they do on a secret menu. They sell grilled cheese. If they sold hot dogs, it'd be micro penises. They'd be little wieners that you'd buy from them.
Yeah. The new mini hot dogs are called micro penises.
It's on the secret menu. You can get one animal style at In-N-Out Burger today. Just mention the Loud Spot Podcast. You get 50% off your micro penis hot dog. Guaranteed.
Style. Don't 50% off.
Not guaranteed. Fuck you guys. Okay, all right. Let's talk about Punkerton Records, who is now going to drop you guys from the label after talking about this on my podcast. So who is Punkerton? Are you guys still signed to them? And what have they done for you?
Well, we just signed to Punkerton. So as of right now, until Monday, we're
they're
still
gonna drop you on Monday. They're gonna drop you on Monday.
It was fun while it lasted.
But it's also funny. Punkerton is ran by this wonderful gentleman, Brandon, and he based his label out of Ohio, where Jeffrey Dahmer also committed, I think, his first murder. So,
Jesus Christ,
it's all relative.
It's all
bringing it back.
Yeah,
it's all connected. So we just signed. We're in the middle of writing a record.
Congrats!
It's going to be a big, beautiful record.
Awesome.
So what has he done for us right now? He has provided comedy, told us that we can do it, and that he's going
to... He told us we could do whatever we want, really.
Well, you guys right. sound good. I mean, why would he try to change that? You guys really do write great music. I mean, like, literally good music.
Yeah, thanks. That's why we hired him, you know?
Yeah, but we hired him. He didn't hire us. But...
Well, he decided to work with you guys, right? I mean, he put you on there, and so you know, I mean, a lot of people get message labels, and they don't want to work with the band. But when you have good production, you guys are coming out with your own music videos. It's so important for bands. A lot of bands sit around and wait to get signed before they want them doing anything, and you can't do that nowadays. You got to be proactive. Mm-hmm. You got to make the music videos sound right. Do right, you know. That's why my band's never gonna get signed, because we're fucking lazy pieces of shit over here, and we don't care. I'm focused on my podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing this.
You've done 300 episodes.
300 episodes, man, and a little over 2 years, like 2 years and like a month and a half, something like that.
Damn,
that's great.
So I started my first episode August 14th, 2020. So, let's talk about your merch. You guys have some cool hoodies and some t-shirts. I saw that on your Facebook page. And you guys got a website, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's www.badyearmke.com.
And you can find your merch on there, right? There.
Yeah, you'll see a little thingy that says merch. We got a whole bunch of variety of weird things that you can buy with our name on it. So,
yeah, the quality of the hoodies is exquisite.
Ooh,
they are very thick and very soft and comfortable. Mm. They are not.
Fall is coming up.
They're not your Walmart hoodies.
And you can get little molded micro penises. That
yeah, we have.
See, it's always a fun topic. I just want this button to say, instead of, I want to say micro penis. it's fun to have people on the show that have fun with those things. And unfortunately, not everybody's super fun. You guys have been great.
I think if you're going to do the micro penis, you might as well do the giganto clitoris too. Just saying.
On the episode I talked about the micro penis, we actually said one of the jokes was, if a guy has a micro penis, he gets made fun of. But if a girl has a micro vagina, then it's a good thing, right? What is that? What are you holding? Is that a pickle?
It's a hot pepper. I was just...
Oh, it's a micro penis pepper.
Going with the micro penis thing.
I get it.
Took you guys a while to notice.
Hold on. No, this is for real.
I got some toys around here, too.
Hold on. This is for real. 1, 2, 3. Okay. That was for you, Jake. That was for you.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. Maybe this one.
Hey, now.
That's a good one.
It went over well.
Yeah,
it did go over. I do want to, you know, the last thing I want to say is, it's not one thing I love about podcasting is from like on my shows anyways, we can go from talking about mental health, suicide, to micro penises, to Jeffrey Dahmer, to In-N-Out Burger, and everything in between. And it's only been like 38 minutes. Only it's 30 minutes, but fun time talking with you guys. I love bouncing around different subjects. I could go on probably for the next 2 hours, but, you know, we have radio stations that play my show. It's like, God damn it, this is a long one. So, oh, well, they're going to have to deal with it. In-N-Out Burger, I do love you. Sponsor the Loud Spot with Sebastian. Last words from the band, Badger. Anything you guys want to say, tours, anything you want to give a shout-out to before we end the show?
Well, I want to shout-out to Sean. We're very sad that Sean is not here.
Follow us on Instagram at bad.year.
Yep. Follow us on Instagram. You're going to get all our fun stuff, and then new music coming via Punkerton Records.
There we go. I'm excited to hear you guys' album. Do you guys have a TikTok at all? or Patreon page?
Yeah, TikTok is bad.year, I think, too. Yeah.
Okay, Patreon?
I don't think we got that.
Patreon page. All right, guys, stay right there till after the outro song plays, please. I do want to thank everyone that listens to the Loud Spot podcast. You can find us on all podcasting platforms. We also have a little bit of merch that we're selling. We're supposed to go to Vegas, wind up getting canceled for the festival. The festival canceled on us, so we have a lot of shirts and things like that over at my house and stickers. So if you're interested, hit me up on social media or hit up my producer, Sam. Sam McIntosh, you can find him on my he's everywhere that I'm at, so he owns half the goddamn show. All right, guys, that's all we got. If you are struggling with mental health or drug addiction, please seek some help and dial that 988 number if you feel suicidal. That's all the time we got, guys. Stay right there. Peace out, rock on, and much love.
This is the Loud Spot outro by Nothing Short of Tragic.
Is this all talk with no action? No. Is this my thoughts with distraction? No. Is this what I bought that's in fashion? Or is this the Loud Spot with Sebastian? Yes. Does Nothing Short of Tragic have his back again? Yes. Does everything that's good really have to end? Yes. A pimp host has a pimp show, so to get more episodes, make an order, this is over.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.